Hello, lovers and friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Romantically Lit podcast. We are in the third season of love. Okay, all you right. Guys, happy new year. God bless you. I hope you had a fantastic holiday break. Whatever type of holidays you celebrate, y'all, we had a little bit of a break. So I'm happy that we all made it together. And of course, as we kickstart the new year, we want to introduce our new book, our first book of the year for the podcast, which is With Love, Miss Americana by the beautiful, talented, outstanding author, Nigerian author, Jane Igaru. This is a YA novel, you guys, and I think we're going to be starting off the year with YAs, because last season we started off with Love Radio by Ebony Liddell, and it ended up being our top book of the year. Yeah. So with Love, Miss Americana, let's see what you got, girl. So I don't know, like, we welcome you guys. Thank you for hanging around. I know some of y'all are new to the podcast. Thank you so much for the support, especially in Q4. Q4, we got a lot of followers, a lot of people commenting.
She means the end of the year for those of you who don't speak corporate.
Well, it's not just corporate. It's actually, if you look at the calendar and just divide, if you just divide everything.
Well, like, maybe people aren't thinking to do that.
It's okay. You know, well,
second, so maybe their mind's not on the math.
Okay. For those who joined us between American Thanksgiving, Canadian Thanksgiving to New Year's, thank you. Thank you for being here. My name is Hanna.
And I'm Odelia.
It's been a while, girl. And yeah, we love to read romance novels, specifically Black romance novels from across the diaspora. That's our thing, okay? And we've read a lot of novels in the past, such as, just give us a top five, our top five novels last year.
Top five books that we read last year, starting from number five, Broken by Fatima Bella. Then we, number four was A Love Song for Ricky Wilde by Tia Williams. Number three was
This Could Be Us by Candy Ryan.
Number two was A Very Giddy Christmas by Tomilola Adeyemo. And number one, as Hannah stated, Love Radio by the lovely Detroit native Ebony Liddell.
Exactly. Okay, that is what we're on, you guys. And heading over to your favorite audio platform to listen to last season's episodes on the different books we read. And in this, let me end with our little outro. In this love shack that we call our little
girl, do you know what's funny? She's saying it's been a while. We recorded all through Christmas break,
but I was not the same person then. In this love dream,
welcome back, as my lovely co-host stated, and happy new year, guys. I'm very excited for season three of this podcast. Some of you may know, our seasons start in January and ends in December. That is how our literary season start. One thing she forgot to mention, if you are interested in seeing our past episodes, most of season two is also on YouTube and the rest is audio. With that being said, I'm very excited for this season. We're reading a ton of exciting books, and I'm hoping it will come as well with a ton of interviews. And yeah, I'm just excited to see where this goes. I feel like a lot of people feel like 2025 is going to be a good year. And so far, reading-wise, it is good. So our first book, as stated, is With Love, Miss Americana. Because I want to say Little Miss Americana, then I was like, no. By the lovely Jane Igaru, and we're going to be talking about the first half of the book today, the first 21 chapters. First thought, I love it. I do think there is something very palate cleansing about, reading a YA novel at the top of the year. Every time we finish reading December, I feel a little tired because we're trying to squeeze in as many books as possible. And then I thought I was going to have a little, like, reading slump. But then opening this up and just, like, it's not lighthearted. There are some heavy themes in this. But, like, I don't know. I guess, things that are made for children have a certain, like, you know, they have a certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. I had the exact same thoughts when I was, that's why I read through the first half very quickly. There's something very whimsical, you know, very, very fun about it. And I do enjoy YAs now. And I didn't think I enjoyed them as much growing up, to be honest. Maybe because they were not really talking about Black girls, the ones I was reading. But yeah, which ones?
I'm even trying. I think I enjoyed YA even without.
I mean, Meg Cabot did a great job, so she'll always be the love of my life, Meg Cabot. But you know, like, I can't think of anybody else. Meg Cabot is probably like my number one in my head, what I can really, really remember.
I enjoyed young adult reading fiction. What I can remember, to be honest, there was a point where I was reading real books, and then I fell off. And was introduced to the online world of fan fiction, and that became my primary.
Oh, right. I forgot what was there in our teens just to distract us from traditional publishing. And distraction it gave. You're right. But a lot of stuff they're writing, I mean, the fan fiction was a little bit on the side of you're not supposed to be reading this.
Some of them.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into the first chapters. Let's get into the book. So let's meet our characters. Where are we?
We meet our characters. We are in what made up town is this? We're in New York State.
We're in Bellwood. Yeah, we're in a suburban area in New York State. I think they call it Bellwood something. I don't know if it's real or not. You guys from there can let me know, but it's suburban. And what I hear about New York State is usually for, you know, like the middle class.
And the mafia.
Whoa, I didn't know that. But, you know, they habitate there. They'll do business there.
Certain drug dealers hiding out in...
Right.
The UK people, from what I remember in Top, where they say when you go country. So when you leave the city, you go country. So.
You're in the Shire. That's where you are. You're in the Shire.
Yes, and we have two lovely girls. Our main girl, her name is Enore. Enore is 17.
She's 17, 16, yeah.
Yeah, she's a senior in high school. And her sister...
Isosa,
there we go. They just moved to New York or America with their mother to live with their uncle, who is a doctor, and his wife is like a professor or something.
Yeah.
And their two children, one is away at school, and... Adrian, who's the same age as Enore. Unfortunately, their father was supposed to be making this trip with them, but when they applied for visas, for those of you who are unfamiliar with that process, when you apply to, from a third world country especially, to come to a place like America or Canada, they make you do biometrics, which is test you for anything. Some things, if you have it, they won't let, it plays into whether you get approval to come here or not. When their father did the test, they found out he had was it like throat cancer?
He had a lump in his lungs.
And this is a testament to Janie Garrow's writing, because she said he had been ignoring the signs, he was losing weight, he was short of breath, but hearing the actual diagnosis almost quickened his death, because it seemed like the symptoms just got 1,000 times worse just by knowing that it was cancer. And so he died 3 months to their arrival to New York.
Right.
And of course, death of a parent is very, I personally don't know the experience, but it's something that like I can only empathize with. And I think it's world shattering for any child at any age. And from what is described in the book, this man was very, very close with his kids, because there was a certain point where Enore was like, he was my friend, you know, I could tell him anything. And I went, oh my God, that's just, but I will say, real props to all of you who write YA, your ability to present hard themes to an audience that is so delicate and sensitive, like, props to you guys, for real, for real.
Well done.
And props to Jeannie Garrow. Love her down. But so they're here, and NRA's not like her sister. Isosa is a little more outgoing. She's the belle of the ball. She loves her makeup. She lights up the room. She's making connections. NRA is a planner. She's like, I need to prepare for American high school. I'm not about to have a bad experience. Adrian, Cuzzo, tell me what I need to know. And my man's like, I'm not wasting my summer going through a map of my high school with you. I'm not doing that. What you can do is watch these plethora of teen movies and figure it out. And the minute she said that, I said, no, high school is not always like Mean Girls or Clueless or like High School Musical or what else was referenced? 16 Candles, 10 Things I Hate About You. There's so many. She watched so many.
As Nora is going, like, navigating, like, her first couple weeks in high school, she keeps referencing, like, oh, my God, in that movie, this is the time when the girls would... this is the time the girls will start, you know, bickering with you and you're going to create enemies. And I'm not going to lie to you, I love the fact that Jeannie Garrow used the preteen movies as, like, the backdrop for it. And she put she packed it up. I was even laughing when she mentioned A Walk to Remember. I said, A Walk to Remember? That one is just...
Oh, damn.
I said, no! Damn. Hey, listen, I watched most of the ones she talked about. I was like, this is crazy. But anyway, but we find out as she's navigating high school, okay, it's actually different. The movies are exaggerating things.
Because as she's going along and she's crossing off rules that she's made up for herself based off these movies, she's like literally falling into the stereotype of every protagonist in these movies.
Well, protagonist, yes, but I'm saying like some of the behaviors is a little bit different. You know what I mean? Like, I would not expect everybody in a girl group to come and beat you up or throw blood on you. I would not expect them to have a food fight in the canteen and people talking about, she doesn't even go here. You know what I mean? Like, we're not seeing that. There's some things that are exaggerated, to be honest. But like, for the most part, you know what I mean? It is an American high school. And I like the fact that she kept comparing, in Nigeria, this is how things were. Mm-hmm. In America, I have to behave this way and this is what I need to do. But anyway, let's not go too far ahead ourselves. Let's start.
So she's doing all that in the summer, and her cousin, her sister, they keep trying to be like, don't you want to, like, I don't know, maybe go out, meet other people rather than like perform anthropological studies on what high school is like. And she's like, no, I got a plan, I gotta do this. And she's on, of course, also grieving her father in her own way, and like, she's just not ready. And so much of it as well, like, I also loved when Jeannie Garrow said, she was like, Bellwood doesn't feel like where my dad would love. Like, why couldn't we live in like New York City? Because the way he described America was like these big towers, this noise, right, the hustle and bustle. Girl, you got me out in suburbia. And she's like, I don't feel daddy here. Like, I don't feel him. And I'm really trying very hard to grasp onto what's left of my dad. All I could bring was his wristwatch that I wear every day, a couple of his t-shirts. But we left everything about him in Nigeria. So
yeah,
you know,
and that and on top of the fact that she feels, maybe it's not true, but she feels like everyone who moved with her to the US, her sister and her mom, have sort of like forgotten that he passed away only shy of 3 months ago. You know, like her sister Isosa has already been described as she's already code switching with her accent, right? It's already changing up.
When you guys do that, some of you do it really well.
I'm not gonna lie to you. When I go home, y'all, if I stay there for 24 hours, I've lost it. I'm somebody else, man. As usual, that's what happens. I think like accents is a big thing, especially like I completely understand that side of things.
Yeah.
I get it. But she does feel like her sister and her mom are sort of moving along, while her, she's still holding on to like, my father is supposed to be here with me. And even though my uncle and his wife are so generous to allow us to live in their home, by the way, the uncle is extremely generous. God bless Uncle Davis. Is that his name?
Yeah, it's giving Uncle Phil.
Yes, you know, yeah. He and even prior to his brother passing away, when he travels back to Nigeria, who brings the gifts, he'll bring, you know, his stories, and he would listen into what the girls were saying. So he was definitely involved in their upbringing, and so it must hurt him as well, knowing that his brother could not make it.
It does, because there was a point where he takes the two sisters and his son to Froyo, and he's smiling and he's looking at the girls, and she's like, you could see the sadness in her eyes, and you can tell, like, he's probably thinking to himself, like, my brother's supposed to be here. It's so unfortunate. Like, so, Janie girl, why do you kill a parent every single time? Because we haven't read Sweet Remedy, but it literally starts off, the reason Homegirl goes to Nigeria is because her father dies.
Yeah. Listen, there's strategy to be told in every story, and it's very sad. Anyway, the way the book opens up is that Inora, in her, you know, being recluse and everything, as her cousins and her sister are out and about, she realizes that she got a DVD stuck into the VCR. Yes. And she runs over, I think it's like her first time stepping out in a while. Everyone's like, damn. She's like, I don't step out these days, but I have to fix this thing, okay? Because I need to watch this stuff. She runs over to a local electronic shop to have it fixed. The person who assists her or tries to assist her is just like, girl, what is this ancient electronic you brought to this place? Why can't you just stream things like a normal person? She's like, no, you need to fix this. There's a DVD stuck in here. I need it fixed. And she's like, no, we can't help you with that. Sorry. However, there is somebody, a mysterious person at the counter, who was able to help her. And instantly, I like how Jenny Gar said, you know, we are going right into it, girls, instantly. Okay. We have established a possible love interest. Okay. Someone her age. The way he describes that, he has hazel eyes and just hazel?
Green hazel.
Oh, green hazel eyes, beautiful, beautiful color. And like dark hair that sort of like lingers on his forehead. At first I said, oh, not a whitey. But then
yeah, there was a point where you said, oh man, we broke our cardinal rule on here.
I know. And I couldn't tell. Damn it, I got fooled by the cover.
Beautiful cover, by the way. Beautiful. First beautiful cover of the season. Beautiful
and it's
cover.
So, and it's, I don't know what to say, but it's so YA. Like, I don't know what to say.
It is. So this is obviously, this is Davi.
Yes.
I want to believe this is Sybil for some reason.
Yes,
it's Sybil.
It is. Sybil is described to have red hair.
Okay. And then I'm thinking this is Isosa. And then that's this is Enore down here. Then I think this is their mom.
Yes.
Then obviously New York State in mind. I'm going to assume this is something that is historical to Nigerian culture.
Yes. Upon meeting this mysterious man who helps her out, she's thankful that the thing got to work. I'm surprised they even, like, I didn't even know that's a trick you can do. Just like open and close it. That's something I should have done when I was younger. Never thought about that, because lots of CDs got stuck in there, let me tell you. Anyway, after fixing that, there's a slight connection there. He does run up to her afterwards, you know, just like, he's like, I like your accent. And she's like, okay.
She said, get away from me, white boy.
Yeah, we gone. Because even she was trying to figure out, this is not white. What is it?
He didn't show his hair. He was wearing a balaclava. Mind you, it's hot. So she's like, why do you, she called him, she said, you look like a
burglar.
But she called him like a poor burglar or cheap burglar or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, why cheap? And he's like, because you don't look like you put in effort. And burglars put in effort to not, like, be discovered. And you kind of look enough. Like, you know.
Fair enough. But yeah. And that sort of ends that sort of conversation. And then we go to, like, the first couple weeks in back to school. First of all, love the fact that Uncle Davis gifted them iPhones, said, here are phones, y'all, first day of school. I said, oh, nice. Oh, very
it's a new
nice.
Age, Hannah. Speaking
I
of,
know.
You know, we've welcomed in Gen Beta. Imagine.
I'm the babies between 2025 and 2039.
Yeah, so God willing, my kids will be Gen Beta. That's crazy.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about the technology, the lexicons that they're about to just pull out of nowhere.
No more new lexicon.
Pardon?
No more new lexicon.
Girl, that's not how humans. That's not how humans. Collins does not even publish a dictionary anymore. They say, "Yeah, damn it, let's put this stuff on the." They have. There's no space. It's on the web now. There's no space. The way we're spitting out new words, and someone sent me a TikTok today about someone saying these sentences don't make any sense, but I feel like they should make sense. I said, stop it right there. Stop making up a new language. Let's just stick with the one we know. I'm so sorry. I know. Let's just stick with the one we know. So in preparation for the first couple of days in school, they're gifted the phone by Uncle Davis, and she spends her first, I guess, hours trying to figure out like where her classes are and stuff. When lunchtime comes, what happened?
So she goes to her locker, and then mysterious boy walks up to her and is like, "Hey," and she's like, "Hey," and he's like, "It's me, remember 16 candles, DVD, and she's like, "Oh, like now I can see your face." And he's like, "Oh, I also have AP calculus. I'll take you there. Like we're going the same way." Then they were like, "Oh, our next class is together too. Do you want to have lunch together?" And she's like, "Yeah, no, for sure." And then chooses to eat outside, which
the bleacher.
Makes sense, thank you, because those of you who in the movies ate in the bathroom, zero sense to me. It stinks in there, the bacteria.
You didn't think about it because she was referencing one of those movies where y'all will be eating in the bathroom, balancing the tray on your lap as you're sitting on a dirty toilet. Like, be for real. So she opts to go to the bleachers instead. And it feels good because she's up there. She can watch the people play cheerleader. I don't know what cheerleaders
was going
do.
On. There was a P.
Was going on. Something happening there on the field. I think at this point she decides to FaceTime one of her friends from back home,
Tolu,
who calls her Americana. It's only been a couple months, y'all. Like, please. But
I do have a question. I probably should have taken this to Google. Like, is Americana common? Like, it's obviously it's a word I've heard before, but is it like common Nigerian, like colloquial for
I don't know.
Because
my homies thing.
No, it's obviously a real word. Like, obviously I've heard it prior to both books, but like it's sounding like it's like a very common colloquial. That makes sense.
So at home, what I used to hear people say a lot of the times. I don't think it's specific to Nigeria, but I remember like every time someone will go to the US, they'll call you Americana is back. Like it's almost like a fun teasing way of calling someone. And so I used to call my sister that all the time when she immigrated to the US and stuff like that. Or like they have some words for Canada as well, but nothing sticks as well as Americana. That one sticks well. And the emphasis on Kana, okay? Emphasis on that. And they ask you if you saw Beyonce in the streets, you know, if John Boyega was just, you know, at the coffee shop with you. Like,
yes,
you know,
of course. Asking,
of course. You know what I mean? And this is what her friends asked her too. And I think, you know, that's why she teased her by calling her Americana. And she's just like, girl, I'm not. Okay. I'm very much so who I am. Outside of this,
she's trying so hard to minimize herself. It's so interesting.
So essentially what Inora does is like she comes up with these rules, right? After watching these teen movies, just like there are a couple rules to survive your senior year in high school, in American high school. I'm gonna make sure I follow them through. And I think that one of the biggest rules is just her not being seen, being invisible. Okay. She doesn't know when to know her. She doesn't want any attention on her. She just want to study what her mom tells her to study and graduate and find happiness at the end, which, you know, that happens to all of us, obviously, you know what I mean? It's a formula for success.
Uh-huh.
Right. I also think, you know, I think she also mentioned that sitting in the bleachers meant that whatever food that she brings, her mom made turkey sandwiches that day.
But the next day she had rice and goat stew, which sounded so good. I was like, and pies.
That's the issue with food like that is that it's going to send you straight to sleep. Like, there is no freaking way you're going to make it through the next half of the day.
Listen, I don't know. But I get it. I think that's one of my, oh my God, I used to hate that about. Not that I used to hate that. My issue was always, like, when you bring food like that, you have to have a microwave or a really good container to heat it.
Yeah.
And when we were in, like, elementary school here, the only microwave was in the teacher's lounge, and they would never let you use it. So I was like, well, I'm not eating cold rice. Like, this is not what God brought me here to do. So I told my mother quickly, I was like, stick to the sandwiches, because every time I knock on that teacher's lounge door, it's like I'm committing a criminal offense. They get so upset to see kids. They're like, how dare you come here? But it was really nice in there.
What do they want the kids to do then?
Not bother them on their lunchtime. So
interesting. Yeah. Anyway, first day, you know, the turkey sandwich is good, but now that she's committed to sitting on those bleachers, it's like, yeah, just bring it whatever. I got time, okay? I can sit here and not be criticized. You know, like my Big Fat Greek Wedding when she was young, they used to make fun of her.
And they're like, ew, you're eating poo-poo caca?
Yeah, they were always so mean about that. I never understood why you're so mean. Like, damn.
Mind you, white people's food looks like... white people's food looks like what you would feed your worst enemy. Like, just...
this porridge and blah. Like, literally. No love, nothing.
You can and then tell they grow eat up for survival. Your
food. As they get older, they start eating your food. Like, this is tasty. Like, you did not say that rubbish when you were 60 years old.
That's the funniest part. I think that's the biggest... the funniest part, because I feel like in certain cities, a certain amount of like multiculturalism was always there, like maybe in New York or London or Toronto. But then now you can go to any little corner of the earth and you're going to see like Italian Indian fusion, Mexican really? Turkish fusion, and yeah. Always at the back is some white guy with a long ass beard. Who's lived there for 7 months and mastered whatever he's trying to make. And then it's just so funny because now they're like, oh, the flavors. What happened to the beef casserole, Cassandra?
What happened to the shepherd's pie?
Bring back the peas and the mashed potatoes, Susan. What's going on?
Right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
But anyways, our girl's sitting on the bleachers and her friend, see how I practice self-control? Her friend, Davi's like...
Oh, these are kids, though. Don't we call them wife and husband, yeah?
No, okay, but I will say that is the worst part about YA, because I'm like, oh my God, they're so young where, like, they could break up.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what really kills me about Love Radio is I have to really believe in my heart of hearts that those two would get back together at some point. I really had to gaslight myself.
I think in the future they'll definitely get back. I think they're soulmates.
Yeah, that's sure. What really upset me about Honey and Spice was getting to the end and being like, okay, they're old enough. Oh, you need just for Bully to be like, yeah, they broke up. I was like, give me the book now. Finish the story now.
And guess what? She will finish it, but we don't know how she's going to end it because I'm telling you, I don't know, man. I don't know. Sweet heat, we just have to see.
There better be sweet heat, okay? That's it.
Okay.
She did tweet that she told her parents not to read this one, so. And her mom was like, why? There's sex in it?
Well, in the first one, there was kind of...
It was like, is she
going in this one? Oh my
it's
God.
It's called Sweet Heat.
I know. And that one's called Honey and Spice.
Yeah, but Spice because he called her Spice. But I get what you mean, but.
Because now, how would we know he called Spice until like midway in the book?
He calls her Spice quite early. He calls her not even Spice. He calls her Scotch.
Scotch. Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, so she's at the bleachers, you know, eating her food. This is like day two. She walks over and guess who's there? Homeboy.
Davi.
And she's just like, now what the hell is going on here? And by the way, at this point that she, when he was walking her to her AP class, we were walking together AP class, he was like high-fiving and fist-bumping people. So she's just like, oh, he's a popular boy. Okay. She's like, rule number one. I think her rule number one is to avoid being befriending anyone popular. So yeah, she just like was out. Okay. I don't want no problems, which fair enough. Fair enough. So when she goes to the bleachers, her safe haven for right now, bless you, Delia. She sees him there. He's like, hey. And she's like, oh, hello, you. What are you doing here? He's just like, I think he was a little bit bothered because he's just like, well, I invited you to sit next to us in the cafeteria today and you didn't show. So
she was like, I think us? You're avoiding me. Who's us? I saw you. Just like, you dapped up 10 men down the hall. Who are you sitting with? I don't want to be around them.
So she's not having it, but he's just like, oh, like, you know, I'm just gonna, like, you know, I guess sit here with you, which I think was very forward of him, to be honest. Like, what do you mean? This is like, you met her twice already, and already he's just like, yeah, I have to go find this girl. So he probably like saw her. Oh, okay, so she goes outside. Let me do a little follow. Crazy.
But she enjoys it.
She does. It was nice talking to somebody who seems to, I mean, his Davi is different because he's originally Brazilian. Both his parents are, I believe.
Sure.
And there's some similarities between what she eats versus what he's familiar with in Brazil as well.
Come on, diaspora.
And when he talks about the pastels, or the pasteles, what it's called, I was like, oh, I've had those before. They're delicious.
I think the thing is, though, like every group of color has meat in a bread that is fried, like,
which is crazy.
Everyone, a samosa, a meat pie, a pastel, like it's all the same concept, just with different accents on it. But the one that was very interesting was the akra. So she, for those of you, y'all should buy the book, but those of you who don't know, the akara is a fried bean paste that's made and then fried. And he said there's a Brazilian or Portuguese word rather for it. And it's very similar. I'm like, it sounds like my people who were forcefully taken took this over there.
To be honest, if you think about our original colonizers, I can only speak for the region I'm from, they were Portuguese. And that's why there are some Swahili words that are Portuguese. So it's just like, you know, they came, they conquered. Okay. They conquered. So I think like these are just like the leftovers that we're using and evolving for our own selves.
Yeah. So there's our acarajes.
Acarajes.
My Portuguese is not good, but.
I don't speak Portuguese at all.
I do. I speak a little Portuguese.
No, you don't. Don't lie to them. Don't lie to them.
Bom dia.
Some people are very sensitive about their language. Please don't insult them.
But Brazil had the largest, I think, the most amount of slaves, or the most amount of victims of the transatlantic slave trade were in Brazil. I think it's a misconception that it was in the United States. Most of them went to the Caribbean and South America, but
most of them are in Brazil. 100%.
Yeah, so I would not be shocked if, you know, then people were also frying up beans or whatever. This one, he says, has caramelized
onions
and shrimp.
Ooh.
But I wasn't shocked because we have something like this in Cameroon. I don't know if we have the bean one, but we have akara banana, which is just like, it's the same concept, but you use banana and dough to make a little pastry. It's not my favorite, but anyways. But there's similarities. And you know what this is? This is a diasporic podcast. Also, have you noticed we keep trying to read a Brazilian?
And we get bits and pieces of it, but eventually we're going to get a full one, trust me. We're going to get a full-fledged one.
We're getting close. I can feel it.
It's coming. So someone translate for us, please. Anything.
We'll make us an audiobook and we'll just listen to it. But anyway, so she's having a good time. I think at one point they're like, "This is my favorite part of the day," and he's like, "This is my favorite part of the day too." At the same time, like, there's also this musical going on. She took the flyer, but she's not really gonna do it because, of course, our girl Enore, she doesn't put her world out like she doesn't put herself out like that. But she is in her church choir, and coincidentally, she's been chosen to do the solo for next service. And Mrs. Silva is like, "Please kill it, because these other two old hags are always arguing over it, and I cannot deal. Like, please." And our girl gets up there, and she gives us her best. Cynthia Erivo, Defying Gravity. Okay.
Listen, soprano and all, okay, she was belting. And surprise, surprise, it's a whoop, whoop at the end. And the applause is coming from none other than her Dabby, man, which is crazy. At this point, I started laughing because do you ever watch Joyful Noise or Joyful Sound? Why with Keke Palmer? Keke Palmer and Latifah?
No.
Never watched it? There's a scene that this exactly happens. So Keke goes up there and she performs. Queen Latifah telling her louder, louder, so everyone can hear you in the back. She does that, and the man of her interest is screaming. He's like, "Damn, you turned that bitch down in church." He said that. Anyway, so I started laughing, saying, "Oh my gosh, reminds me of Joyful Noise, or Joyful Sound." I forget what the movie's called, but I guess it's like a teen,
probably.
Yeah, I guess a little bit older, to be honest. But yeah, it's there. Anyway, we find out that our girl is a singer, okay? She loves to sing. She has a beautiful voice that impacts, you know, the people around her. She's surprised to see Dabby at the church. It's like, "Now, what the hell is this bleacher boy doing here? What's going on?" After he interrupted rehearsal a little bit, she asked him what he's doing here. He's just like, "Well, I'm here to pick up my grandma."
I suspected, because earlier she said Mrs. Silva, and then she said Portuguese, and I was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah. But she could see like there's a twang there. She's like, "What is this? What is this English? This thing mixed with something." But yeah. And so he says, like, "Yeah, that's my grandma," which I'm assuming Miss Silva looks gorgeous. Like, I just feel like she's like a fan. I don't know. Like, something tells like she's young at heart and just has like a spirit.
Yeah. Cause she also says, she's like, "I know I'm a grandma, but like, I look too good to be a grandma." Like, you know, she's like, What do the girls call themselves when they don't want to be grandmas? Like a glamma?
Glamma? Yeah. Yeah. I learned from Housewives. All the Housewives are saying, "I'm a glamma, I'm a glamma." I'm like, okay.
All right.
But fair.
This is why y'all be out here making mistakes. We don't have any more grannies, okay? We are praying glammas.
And what's wrong with someone calling you a granny? It's fine. Like, you know what I mean? What's going on?
You are at granny age. You're near 60, like,
yeah, you're an old soul at that point. When she finds out that Miss Silver is his grandma, she's also like, "Oh my god, so you know my little baby here." So this is the girl you've been asking me to make stuff. This is the pretty girl. This is the pretty girl you've been asking me to make food, because by this time, like, the bleachers are exchanging food. They say, "Oh yeah, this tastes like my you know what I mean? And he was a little bit embarrassed. I'd be so embarrassed.
I was like, "Grandma, you're killing my game."
I don't know. Kids say Riz girl.
Oh my days, I can't keep up. I can't keep up. Granny don't know that one, baby. Explain that one to Auntie.
Yeah.
No, I know Riz, but
It's too much, girl. Like, every single day there's a new word, and I just stop, you guys. I'm comfortable with my current like span of vocabulary. I don't need to add any more.
And I think that's how I know I'm getting old, because my generation was in here saying the weirdest things and like laughing at the strangest words that made no sense, and I had the full like brain power to remember them all. And sometimes still even use them in my day-to-day conversation. But everything that the new generation does, I'm just like, enough. Pick up Oxford's dictionary. I don't want to hear it. So I know I'm getting old. So they can say skibbity toilet or whatever. I'm just not going to learn it.
That's the one that threw me off.
That's what I said.
what? And then thinking about like where it came from. Like, listen. Anywho, linguists are going to have a time of their lives for the next couple, like for the next decade or so. Yeah, the field belongs to you. You have the mic. So at this point as well, he's trying to encourage her to audition for the musical because she has such an outstanding voice and he really believes that she can do the lead. In her mind, she's like, well, I'm going to be in school to study. Like, I don't have time for that. You know what I mean? I need to do my AP calculus and I need to do whatever. And she's like, no, like, you should definitely do it. Like, the auditions are like, I think like the, almost like, is it that week or like the following day? I don't know what they were.
Monday, the following Monday.
Monday. And he's telling her like, please,
do
like,
it, do
go
it,
ahead.
Do it.
I think they exchange numbers at this point. I don't think they pointed out in the book, but I think they do because at some point he does text her.
Yeah, that's her only real friend, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he convinces her to sing Into the Unknown. Is that the one?
Which it is, yes, Into the Unknown, which I never listened to before in my life. Because every time Frozen comes up, I actually just skip it. Just skip it.
Yeah, I'm also anti-Frozen. I remember seeing him being like, this cannot be what you all were hyping up. This is one of the worst Disney movies I've seen personally.
And listen, the lady who sings it in, oh my God.
Menzel.
Yes. The lady who sings it, Broadway Elphaba, she has a fantastic voice. I've always loved her voice. It's the show, girl. It's the thing. I can't do the thing.
It's not the music.
It's not the music at all. It's just I'm tired of seeing white princesses, to be honest. It's getting too much.
Either.
What was yours?
It just wasn't interesting to me. Let it go. Like, fam, just chill out, man.
Never watch. I don't even know what Frozen's about, Julia. I just see two white girls and I say,
They're orphans. Their parents went away on a trip and their thing crashed and left two sisters, the redhead one and the one with the powers. The one with the powers, they've been trying to minimize her powers because she turns everything into ice. So she's basically been locked up for like 15 years.
Oh, so the ice princess.
The dumbass red one falls for a man, and that's always a woman's downfall. This man is essentially trying to use her to marry her, to gain her title. He's trying to marry for power, and that's where you get the whole, we finish each other's sandwiches, because he doesn't finish her sentences. He's playing her. So he, like, her sister ends up running away. He's like, yeah, I'll help you find your sister, and that's when they run into Olaf and the other blonde fellow. And the blonde fellow actually likes her, actually gets her goofy self. But that guy is like, I'm just here for power. So then they have to like work to try and defeat him while also telling Elsa, you don't have to, it's not always concealed. Don't feel, don't let it show. Like sometimes you can let it show, you know, and let it go, let it go and use your powers. Uh-huh. You get? Okay.
That
no
is
clue what
so
happens
funny.
In the second
that's
one.
What- That's what gets you up, you know, son. That's your yum, not my yum. Fantastic. I listened to the song Into the Unknown, and I just want to see, like, I want to see what her range was. That's why I listened to it. I said, let me see how good her voice is. It's very good.
What do you mean, see how good her voice is? Have you not heard Idina Menzel before?
I've heard Idina Menzel before, but I didn't know the song. So I wanted to know why Nora was, Dabby
sang
that song in particular. Because, like, if I heard how you sang Odilia, would I would like, no, like, I,
let's continue.
No, as an example, like, if I heard how you sounded.
Well, it doesn't matter because.
If I heard how your voice sounded, I wouldn't suggest Celine Dion to you, right? I would suggest something else.
Well, I was always between an alto and a tenor.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I wouldn't suggest Celine Dion to you. I would give you like a Toni Braxton. You know what I mean?
Unbreak my
exactly.
heart.
Exactly. I'll try singing a Celine Dion song right now.
What's this Celine Dion song?
My heart will go on.
My heart will go on. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Oh, Lord of mercy. So Dabby really pushes her to say, I think your voice will sound amazing when you sung Into the Unknown. She's like, I'm not gonna do it, don't worry, like, forget it. When the day of the audition comes through, I think she's like, what is she doing? So she was doing anything but auditioning that day. I think she was studying. Oh, she was in the library. So she was in the library with a Black American. And I'm gonna say that specifically because I think when she first came to the U.S., she didn't realize she, I mean, you know, but it's you, your blackness becomes very evident when you're outside of a space where everyone's predominantly black. So she feels like a chocolate chip in the cookie dough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I will always say, like, I feel like she makes mention of it continuously. Like, first, when she got to the airport and she realized, oh, shit, I have an accent. Like, an accent that's different from everybody else's. And I'm sure everybody's, if you ever travel to a place that is not your home, you're like, oh, everybody knows I'm not from here. And then she makes mention of it, I think, here, too, where she said, it's the first time I used people of color. And this is how I knew Davi wasn't white, because she said people like me and Davi. And I was like, just making sure. But because there are white Brazilians, okay, people listening. But anyways, but I think, like, racism, and obviously you don't experience racism on the continent. And I think you obviously are aware of things like colonialism and neocolonialism and its impact when you just look at your surrounding environment on the continent. But I think it's only when you, like, come to a place like America where you notice you are genuinely the minority. Like, genuinely, you are alone, and how you look, you sound, everything, your perception, how you're perceived, impacts your livelihood there. And it's a strange thing. And I think sometimes people who are fortunate enough to live in a, like, homogenized black society, they can understand racism to a certain extent, but they can't, like, it's different if you experience it. I don't know how else to say it, but it's different.
Yes, it's very different. I think even when she was in that library sitting side by side with Taylor, whatever his name was, she's like, wow, like, I keep forgetting his name. Me really too. I don't remember. The really studious guy who's really aiming for the valedictorian. She's just like, wow, like, we are the two, like, black people here. And she's like, you know, maybe he's used to it at this point, you know, because he grew up here and is used to that. But I think she's just starting to just really realize that her blackness is loud. And it's very unnerving at first. Not gonna lie to you, when I first went to Boston. And the thing is that, you guys, I was going to Boston from Canada, right? Travis, right? And when I landed Logan Airport, I said, wow, I really am the only Negro here. No, I was the only Negro in the terminal. The only one.
There are definitely places you feel it a lot more than other places. Like, I think, again, like, Toronto or the Greater Toronto Area is, I think it is, if not the most, but top three, one of the most diverse cities in the world. So, it's not, you know, you're still a minority, but, like, the majority of my neighbors are from other places. They're not white. But then I remember going on a plane to Dublin and looking around at the gate and being like, oh, my God, like, where are the people? And they put me and the only other person of color next to each other, and he slept through. But I was like, brother, you and I, we're in this together. Like,
you know what the funniest thing? I don't know if you experienced this before, but when you're hopping off a plane and you're landing out, and there are people there usually to help people with kids and, like, anyone who has, like, who needs a wheelchair and stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would ask me, "Are you with him?" I look behind, I see another black family. I said, "Wow," I said, "I don't know these people."
This only happened to me once.
It happens to me all the time. It happens to me all the time. They think that I belong with a family. I look at them just like, do we really look alike to you? Because that's a mixed baby. So do you think
somebody had to mix with it to make the baby?
They thought that I was a sister, and I said, no, we're not together. Are you together? Me and the black family are confused. Like, Jenny, I'm like, I didn't even know you were on the plane with me. Anywho, it's just so strange, man. It's just awkward. But, you know, I moved past it.
I don't.
it's a microaggression, but what can I do? I need to catch my connection.
It is one of the main reasons why I refuse to not succeed within the Greater Toronto Area. I promise you, I'm putting this out in the atmosphere. Y'all say speaking into existence. Really and truly, because I know maybe for the rest of you who aren't from here, Canada is portrayed as this like multicultural place of love. And no, baby, this place sucks. We say it every three episodes.
This place is as bad as any other place in the world. I'm so sorry, you guys.
Some would say even worse because it's like the family that beats its children, but then goes and smiles in each other's faces. That is what Canada is, because it pretends like it's this good place and it's not. If you leave its metropolitan hubs, you will experience a life like no other as a person of color. And I'm not even talking miles away. I live 15 minutes away from the next neighboring town.
Come on, Georgetown.
And if you go to the hospital there, the amount of racist things that have happened is concerning. Yeah. Okay? It's literally crazy. And I see the experiences of black people who live in those places. I'm like, why would I make my children endure this? So I must succeed here or Montreal or Ottawa or Vancouver. I heard Winnipeg and Calgary are up and coming. I'd have to see it for myself.
Not yet. They're up and coming, but it's not time. You know what I mean? Let it 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Let it bake. Okay. Literally. It's not time yet. It's not time. But when it's all nice and golden brown on top, I shall be. I heard it's flat as hell here, but hey, let's party.
Just crazy.
But yes, 100% to that. Trudeau beats us because he loves us. So that's the best way I can describe it.
No, really and truly, it's like
that's how it feels like.
It's literally the worst, best place you could be. Like, wow.
Oh God. Anywho, so Davy finds her. She's like, I've been looking for you all freaking afternoon. We have to go to this audition. She's like, no. He's like, no, we have to. It's gonna end. We have to go. Grabs her hand. She's like, oh my God, I have no choice, do I? She goes to audition, and it's very much so Troy Bolton. I'm not gonna lie to you. I thought she was gonna change her song and start singing the start of something.
No, literally, that's why I said it feels like she's fitting into every stereotype, because she's doing every single movie thing.
But, like, it's fun. Sorry.
I didn't say it's not fun, but we're not going to sit here and pretend it's not happening.
I'm not going to lie to you. As someone who loves High School Musical till this day, this one got my feet. This one got my feet like this. I was jigging along. I was vibrating. I was like, ooh, I love this.
You know, for one point, I thought Davy was supposed to come out there and give us a note or two.
No, actually, I think she pointed out, just like, I thought Davy was going to come and help me sing the song. Yeah. And then he was like, oh, you girl. I said, damn it, Troy. I mean, Davy. Like, what's going on? Anyway, she goes up there and she does her big one, okay? And she does this breathing exercise, I think, for herself just to calm her down. And I think to a lot of degrees, she knows that her father would love to hear her. Love to see her do this, because he was very supportive of her interests. Yeah. And you're gonna start to be conscious between what her father wanted her to do versus what her mom wants her to do, which I understand to some degree, but sometimes a little bit forceful.
Do you know what reminds me of? In Never Have I Ever, when Davy was like, her mom was like, just go to school, be a good girl, don't do nothing, your dad's not here. And she was like, but dad, like, when he came to this country, like, he had dreams, he had like hopes, he was fun, like, why aren't you fun? And that's what it was giving. Although I will say, dads always do get to oftentimes be the fun parent if they want to be. So
that is also very true. And every time there's a little flashback of her thinking about what her dad would say and what the stuff that he would tell her, he says the sweetest things to her, to be honest. Not just to her, but the mom as well.
The hair, like how
How she looks. Like, one time someone compared her to, like,
Genevieve Nanji, and he's like, and then, my wife is prettier.
Listen!
If y'all ever want to make this a book, I think it would be, I mean, if y'all ever want to make this a movie, I think it would be funny if you cast the mom as Genevieve Nanji and then be like...
This would be such a fun movie to make as well. It really, in the world where we're lacking these type of screenwriting stories. I know you guys like to do that 13 Reasons Why, and I'm branching off the Euphoria 90210. Sorry, y'all. I don't want to see y'all do that anymore.
Apparently, Euphoria is coming back to film next month.
There's no way. It doesn't make any sense because I really feel like Zendaya has really embarked on something new. Like she's on something else. Like,
why would there be a time jump? There better be because nothing else makes sense.
Someone has already died from that. He's no longer with us.
Fez. Yeah, I know. R.I.P. But,
and it's ironic that he died also, like, you know what I mean?
On the show, yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, it doesn't feel right. So whoever, Sam Levinson is his name? Mm-hmm. Did he make it 2025? Like, is he still here with us?
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently.
Okay. Anywho, so she sings a big one, and the director, who is a southern, like,
Mr. a southern
happy man, to be honest, he's like, you know what?
That's what he said. No, we've missed something. There are three girls, Sybil, Bethany, and my arch nemesis, Ara.
I thought we met them after
the audition. Yeah, after the audition. Oh, we're not done there yet? Oh.
No, he gives her the part.
Mm-hmm. The lead.
He's like, I'm going to give you the lead. And she's shocked. I'm shocked too, but I guess she did a great job. I also want to say one cute thing. That night, I love this when people do this. David was saying that she's an amazing that day. And I love it when people say, well, can I call you instead? I like that instead. Okay, so moving on to the next
thing. No, let's stay right there because that's actually so cute. I don't know why you're embarrassed about it because at the end, I think I watched a TikTok recently and I wish I could remember the name of the creator where she talked about how secondary school love is like probably the purest and the most real and it doesn't have the hardships of like dating now where you start asking who brings what to the table, ratata. And this lady's Nigerian, she was talking about how like back in the day, obviously, you know, the phones were free after a certain point to a certain point. So MTNs, I think, was like 12 a.m. to 4 a.m. And the men would stay up. The boys would stay up so they could talk to their girls and study together. They would pick you up on Saturday in their dad's car that they were supposed to be washing to go get a snack, go do this, go do that. And she was like, none of this, but who pays for this? This, like, I never had those discussions. And she's like, the men just loved you. They just loved you. Like, they did, like, staying up and talking or, like, you know, and I think that's what makes it so cute because it's so, it's juvenile in the best ways because I think there's this conversation that I'm glad is coming back is that love, romance in itself is supposed to be foolish. It's supposed to be foolish and corny. And a lot of us are afraid of being corny and foolish. And you have to be. You have to just allow yourself to be, to experience those things. But a lot of us go into it and are like, this hard rock, like, ugh.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be able to, and I think the men especially do it, because once they experience that secondary school love, and maybe that girl breaks their heart, now the rest of us have to suffer.
Near the end of it, let me tell you, they hold on to it like someone holding on to their poop. Like, just people, like, it hurts, okay? Let it go, man.
So, but like, there's something so innocent about it, and I think that's what makes it so, like, fun to read, and I experienced it with Prince and what's her name?
Prince and let her come back to me. Danny.
Yeah, there's just something like, despite what they're going through, because they are going through major things, and Davy is going through something, but he hasn't told us what it is yet.
Which is, yeah, because there's some like strange like off sentences that he's making and or like feelings that he's having, and it's just like, oh, okay, cool, like me, Sosa, Inora, and the whole world are confused as to what's going on. But she said that she would just, you know, give him time to, like, when he feels comfortable enough to talk to her about it. But yeah, he's definitely going through something. I hate it when y'all make kids go through things, because now it's gonna break my heart, whatever it is. I don't want to.
I already feel like this book might make me.
No, you know, honestly, it's Junior Gar, so
it might be. Yeah, you know what? I did cry at the end of Where We End Begin, but I should have known she would kill a YA, because to a certain extent, Where We End and Begin is a YA, because half of the book is written in that.
Yeah.
Obi.
See, I didn't want to go too into it because Adelia has a strong attachment to that story. I just didn't want her to revisit the trauma, the wounds that are still not healed. Which is concerning. Anywho, so her audition goes really well. At the same time, she's lying to her mom that, mm-hmm. oh yeah, like I'm doing Mac Club, you know what I mean? And her mom's like, oh, that's great. I'm glad that, you know, like you're taking that school stride and you're doing a great job. And she's afraid that do American girls lie to their parents about stuff like this? Because at home, we wouldn't lie. I've never lied to my mom.
Which is...
They do lie, but she's a goody-goody two-shoes. Man. She's one of those kids, unfortunately, mm-hmm. who does write about her, does write by her parents. And she is the eldest by only a couple years. But still, I think she carries a lot of weight. And her mom is very particular about, you know, old school lawyer, engineer, doctor. Surgeon, yeah. A doctor. Yeah. So at the same time, she's become famous, you guys. Someone recorded, who was it? Was it her sister? No one. So someone recorded her her audition and posted it online, and it's doing numbers, y'all. Okay, I wish I could do numbers, but unfortunately, no one's interested in what I say. So Inora is doing big numbers, and she's surprised the next day in school when people are just like, "Oh my God, look who it is! It's you!" And she's just like, "No freaking way, no freaking way! I'm famous. There's no way."
She's like, "I've broken every rule I gave myself. I don't want to be known." And yeah. Here I am, known.
No. At this point, she feels brave enough to go to the cafeteria and have lunch with some of Davy's friends. Davy is popular, but
he doesn't even like his friends.
Yeah, he doesn't. I don't think he's too attached to his friends. Maybe there's something that went off there, which maybe we might find out. But she feels brave enough to be around with him because she feels safe with him, at least. And so when they go to the cafeteria, that's when we meet the trio.
No, we meet them because they come up to her locker, and they're like, "Oh, we saw your video."
Right.
Except that girl Aura.
Okay, so there's three, of course, because this is a American high school. There are three girls: Sybil, Brittany, and Aura. I don't know who the leader is. I don't think they have a leader.
Who is the Regina George? It's sounding like Aura.
It could be Aura, but she doesn't. To me, she doesn't seem smart enough to be Regina George. Sorry. Like, she's just, you know, she's all bark. You know what I mean? She's just saying a few words to you, but she's not acting on something as of yet. Like, I don't think she's planning to, like, kill you or some sorts. You know what I mean? That's what I say. I don't think she's smart enough to do anything. She's just going to say something to hurt your feelings. Aw, my feelings were hurt. Anyway, so yes, we're introduced to the trio girls, Brittany, Sybil, and Aura. Brittany is very friendly. She's a blonde girl.
Bethany.
Oh, Bethany. And then Sybil is like a... Sybil reminds me of those girls in school who, like, was very active in extracurriculum. So I think she's like a journalist. So she works for the student paper of some sort. Yeah. And she really wants to interview Inora for her little feature because my girl's doing numbers and it's going to do well. And she just seems very friendly and very talkative and bubbly. And I like her. I like her a lot. And she's a redhead. I love her. Let me tell you, for me, there's only one supreme white girl, and that's a girl with red hair. Sorry, there was the rest of y'all. Sorry to the rest of y'all.
Every time I hear the name Sybil, I think of Downton Abbey.
Oh, the girl who died of hypochlamsia. That was terrible. Literally, I don't know why the character. They killed so many people on that show.
But Mary lived.
Mary was insufferable. Absolutely insufferable. Till this day, I think about her bob, and I just want to yank it off her. Because the way she treated her sister, the other one who was down on bat, she was down on her luck. Like, God didn't like her for, like, the first half of her
life. Edith? God didn't like her the first half. No, Mary and, like, Edith were going bone to bone, like, bar for who could be the worst sister.
But Mary exceeded everything. Like, Edith had like her issues in the beginning. Like, she was just stubborn. I think because she was neglected, she was like the black sheep. So, like, I understand where she's coming from. But Mary had no reason to behave the way she did. Remember when Mary told Edith's new beau that she has a daughter?
Right. Okay, but Edith also told the French embassy that Mary was a slut. They were literally going. going bar for bar. Who could be the worst sister?
She did do that. She did. Hey, I forgive Edith, man. She had a reason.
Edith, everything Edith that happened to Edith after that was karma.
I remember when she found that old man to marry, and that man didn't show up to the wedding. They had a whole wedding set up. She walked down the aisle, no man to be found.
Did he How about die in Germany or something? Or...
Yes.
Crazy. I just feel like also, I'm glad they killed Cousin Greg or whatever his name is that was supposed to marry Mary. Well, they did get married.
It made no sense for cousins to be together. Yuck.
They were like distant cousins.
I don't care. You're blood related. I hate it when you guys do the cousin birth stuff. Like, okay, it's just but... weird.
Mary had the worst luck with men because the first man she ever laid with, Tobias.
You know when Trixie must still a ride you will never survive. Yeah.
So in this is so funny. Spoiler alert: if you've never seen Downton Abbey, but we only watched it because Hannah's sister told us that what's his name was in it. Theo James was in it.
But she didn't tell us how long he was in it for.
We finally see Mr. Theo of House James, and the man hooks up with the main character. Mind you, this is in like Elizabethan era or pre-World War One.
Yeah, definitely pre-World War.
So like the end of the lords and the ladies type of time, and America is about to hit. This is prequel. This is technically the prequel to Gilded Age, if you watch Gilded Age. Correct. And so this man comes to her house, and she's like, I'm going to rat it out on the floor. So she gets on top, right? She's going at it, you know? She giving her best mood. And like Hannah said, where to Trixie. I don't think it was Trixie. I think it was her friend on the podcast. What's her name? The other one.
It was Katya?
I think it was Katya who said, a ride you wouldn't survive. And fam, why did T.O. James die immediately? Yo. He didn't even come.
And they were trying to hide that body.
Because remember, okay, at this time, if they found out that you did this as an unmarried woman, you would be ruined. Ruined! Exactly. And she was a lady. So her sister literally told the embassy, I think it was actually the Greek embassy or whomever, that this girl, like, did this. So it became this rumor that they had to, like, cover. It was so crazy. Downton Abbey doesn't seem like a show that has drama, but you'll sit there. I was so entertained.
And not just drama from like the people on top,
the workers, servants.
Nah. They were doing it a lot. This particular one guy who was determined to ruin everyone's life every season, man.
Wasn't he gay?
I kept thinking to myself, I forgot his name. I kept thinking, like, what are you going to lose, man? To find out this one is just closeted.
He was just an angry
and
gay
projecting
man
the whole time. Stealing money, framing people, like saying all kinds of things. My guy just couldn't be himself. That's why he was upset.
And you were valid.
Valid, but like 6 seasons, you're trying to get me out of this place. Like, be for
and
real.
He
man.
Really hated disabled people because the way he treated my guy.
He tripped my boy. Remember when he tripped my boy when he was sick?
Yeah. Wait.
No, I have to find his name. Sorry.
I can't remember. Did they kill that man's wife, the blonde lady, or no?
No, they didn't kill that man. I don't think so.
But they like framed him for some kind of murder. He went to fam, that show was stress. Anyways, you all should watch Downton Abbey. Definitely
freaking
worth it.
Thomas Barrow. That's
Thomas
his name.
Barrow, yeah.
Look at this evil closeted man.
I feel like really and truly of my time, I know we're sidetracked. The best time of television that was made is between like 2010 and 2020. That was some good television. You men have lost the plot, bar like Succession and like one, two other shows, Abbott Elementary, but everybody else has lost the plot. Okay.
Yeah. Like you guys, you're not making good content anymore.
Keep rebooting everything.
You know.
Watch, they're going to reboot Downton very soon. And tell
well,
us,
they
like,
had a movie I watched. Remember, we had because now they're doing that thing where the good shows between that. Because even like Peaky Blinders did the same thing. It was really good, fantastic, and then they're gonna make a movie out of it. Like they're just trying to.
Somebody died.
It's a cash cow. Yes.
Who died?
Lady Crowley died. Remember?
No.
The one who played Violet. The one who played Maggie Smith's character. She died.
Yes, Maggie Smith.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Back to the book. So anyways, how did we even get here?
Oh,
I said Sybil reminds me of. So anyway, Sybil,
we can derail.
Listen, we're sorry. Sybil.
Okay.
So Sybil's like, yeah, I want to do an interview. And our girl Enore is like, no, not right now. Not ever really. No. So fast forward, though, to lunchtime, and she tells David, like, David, I think I'm ready to sit in the calf. Like, I survived people clapping for me in the classroom. I survived everybody looking at me. I can do this. So she goes into there and realizes that his friends are this black guy named Blake, a light-skinned man with dreads, and then the three girls, Sybil, Ara, Bethany. Ara has the worst attitude because she ended up being the understudy because she can't sing like Cynthia. Oh, that's not Cynthia Erivo. She can't sing like NRA.
But it's synonymous. So yeah,
exactly. She can't defy no gravity.
No, she cannot.
So she needs to just shut up. But she keeps giving her an attitude. Then her and Davi leave for a second, and that leads to she has a good lunch with everybody. Then she hears them talking, and she's like, "You didn't even want." We find out that Ara didn't want the main role, but she's upset about it. And he's like, she also find out that they used to date Ara and Davi. And she was like, oh, I've broken my fourth rule. I now have an enemy. Because there's also rumors around school that her and Davi are dating, which aren't untrue.
Yes.
But it just makes her nervous. And then leading into the first rehearsal, she can't act. She doesn't know cues on the stage. And everybody's laughing, and Ara is adding her side comments. Somebody should have decked her right here in the mouth. Listen. But I don't support violence between children, but somebody should have done it. Mr. Ronald, or whatever his name is like, do you need, like, what is wrong with you? Is it a lack of confidence? Is it, like, what is it? But he's really blunt. Again, it's giving just a very sassy gay man, I think.
Yeah, that's what it is, 100%.
And it makes NRA very upset, and she runs off crying. She's like, I quit. Quit before she even started. Fair.
Quit her and said, you know what, whatever. And she does talk back to that man. She usually respects her elders, but she's like, nah, this was doing a lot. So she says, you know, I quit. Maybe, you know, like, you know, go give him advice. Blah. She leaves. By this point, sorry, I'm just looking at my notes real quick. At this point, her sister, oh, I love Isosa. You know, she's a sister. She's just like, I need to take this opportune time to let you know that I have changed your handle on Instagram.
Enchanted. She said, I'm your social media manager.
Your assistant. I'm your financial coach. I'm everyone to you, okay? I wear multiple hats. I love girls like her, to be honest. Yeah. Girls who are just bold, and like at that age, you're seeing an opportunity to, I don't know, showcase your skill set, and she goes for it with no fear, she doesn't care at all. Yeah. And I think there's something, I think like reading YA sometimes, I'm just like, wow, like I know it's fiction, but there are people who are like this, and I feel like in high school there was a lot of life across all of us, like being embarrassed and having shame is not something that I really thought about as much. No, seriously, I think like it started to build up a lot more in university.
Yeah, so I think in a different kind of way, because I think when you're in high school, the most shame is like, oh, maybe my peers will laugh at me. But when you're older, it's like, my peers will laugh at me. I won't be respected by people in my industry. I'm not going to succeed at what I'm going to do. And those in my inner circle will laugh at my attempt to try something new. Like, yeah, like even with us doing like this silly little podcast, like I hate when people in my personal life are like, oh, I listen to it. I'm like, no, don't listen.
But they're not, okay, but they're not making fun of you, though.
But there is this idea of, like these people know me in a more intimate way. So for me to show myself, if you don't already see me in that light, for you to see me in such a light, now I'm, like, opening myself to a new dimension to you, and therefore open to a whole new set of judgment. That's why there's so much, like, pressure when people want to change careers or do things, because it's, like, outside of will I succeed, is how will I be perceived for trying this thing? So
right. And I also think like our dreams in high school were just so clear. And they were just, I don't know, like I felt like I had more creativity, more boldness. Mm-hmm. As I get older, financial issues, bouncing school with work, the pressures of you getting older, your age is starting to mean something to society. Mm-hmm. Right now we're at that age where we're just like, oh, it's a big age, isn't it? When they say a big age, they really
it's
do
been
mean
a big age. It's been a big age for a big age,
right? So making mistakes is not really it's not really embraced that much from your parents, from your peers, from your mm-hmm. coworkers. It's not. You're supposed to be making mistakes. And then your dreams, your childish dreams about, I don't know, becoming a writer, want to do something, becoming a makeup artist, kind of dies out because you need to perform to make money, to make a living, because you need to survive.
I will say, though, I do envy the children of today, in that like there's more acceptance of jobs that are somewhat irregular, yeah, like
traditional.
Yeah, like if a kid tells me, "Mommy, I want to start a makeup channel," I'd be like, "As long as you're over 16, yeah, go ahead, babes." But like, I think about how like different it was at the beginning of that YouTube era, like. For those people to branch out the way, I saw a video recently of Patrick Starr where they were talking about like, I was that person who I was stuck in what I was doing. It felt like the world was moving and I wasn't moving. And you just have to put yourself out there. You have to like, right. You know, but now you go onto TikTok and you see like, I don't condone it. I don't think 10-year-olds should be in Sephora, but you see 10-year-olds be like, "Hi guys, here's my haul here." Like, you know, there's a certain acceptance to like content creation or like, yeah. You know, people are sitting on streams watching Speed do whatever it is that he does.
I'm telling you right now, Twitch changed. Like when I started like really realizing how big Twitch was, I started realizing you guys are sick. Wow, yeah. You guys sitting around watching stream for 12 hours, and they're making millions and millions off your views. That's just one channel. There are 100,000 of those. I'm like, okay, we're somewhere else. I mean, it's a good and bad thing. I feel some of y'all are doing it for the wrong reasons, to be honest, because you're spreading a lot of information that sounds crazy. That sounds crazy because you're young, you know what I mean? You don't really know how to count or read. And so, no, seriously, some of y'all, because some people will be like, oh yeah, I'm not going to go to school anymore. I'm just going to like focus on my Twitch stuff. I'm going to do both. You have to know how to read and write. Because an athlete, like some of these sites are going to be obsolete in a couple of years. Okay. TikTok is just here to stay for now, but there's something else coming up. There will always be something else. And you have to figure out how are you going to make money, or are you going to, I don't know, do what you want to do as the times are changing. I'm so scared to see what that better generation comes up with, because I don't know, man. I don't know.
It will be interesting, but I will say this, though. Because I remember us having this conversation before we started this little podcast where I would show you a video. I don't watch Speed stuff, but it would come up on my Twitter all the time. Or because I would watch a lot of the UK YouTubers, especially the male ones, and we used to invite him, especially when he started to get really popular for football content or soccer content. And I would always tell him, I'd be like, "Look how shameless this boy is. He lacks shame. But look at his follow count." And I was like, what is the only thing holding us back is the shame that has been drilled into us that makes us feel like every little thing that we do out of the ordinary is embarrassing. This boy is so shameless, but you know what else he is? Shamelessly rich, okay?
Yeah. What can you do?
But you must have some shame, though. Like, please, guys.
A little bit. I think
shame is good.
Shame adds to your moral compass. Compass. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, so she quits this, and she doesn't tell anybody that she quit the play, the musical. So you know, she's going about her day. I think at some point, of course, she feels like off about it. She doesn't know like if she made a great decision about it or not. But correct me if I'm wrong, but is this the point where he drives her home? Because now he knows that they used to date, Ara and Davi used to date.
Yeah.
He drives her home. Well, officer drives her home, and she's like, "Okay, cool, like, whatever, we can." And when they get to her uncle's house, which is now her house as well, she's just like, "Okay, so you know, I'm a goodbye, and he feels like something is off about her.
Like, are you mad at me? Because he drives home with Isosa.
Right.
So she leaves the car. Because Adrian went home before them. And
right.
He's like, are you mad at me or something? And then she brings up, she's like, Ara, you and Ara used to date. And then they tell each other, she's like, I really like you, Davi. And he's like, I like you a lot, too. Like, a lot. And then she's like, but we can't even be friends. And I was like, Enora, why now? Or Enora, why now? And I was like,
how did you come up with that? How did you get here, girl?
And he's like, what do you mean? You don't even want to be, like, besties? And she's like, no. Like, it's just better this way. And he's like, why? And then she just, like, blurts out. She's like, my dad died. And then he's like, whoa, what? And then she, like, runs away. And he's like, the man was too stunned to speak.
I would be too. If someone told my dad died, I would have to call you back. Like, what do you mean?
So then he goes home. Same time, she comes home and everybody's at theirs. And her mommy has cut her hair. And it triggers something for her because her dad used to love her mom's hair. And she's like, but daddy loved your hair. Why would you do that? Daddy loved your hair. And she's like, because it always reminds me of him. And I think this is where, because in the next chapter, she says her mom's response was insensitive. But I think it goes back to the fact that we grieve differently, right? You know?
Yeah.
Because as much as you lost your father, she lost her husband. She lost the love of her life. She sees him in a different light. So those moments that you saw as cute and endearing because he loved him, him doing her hair was a form of intimacy. And she doesn't have that intimacy anymore. And so everything about the hair reminds her of that, you know. And she's trying her very best to keep it together and start this new life in America. Sometimes, and I think hair is so symbolic because there's always this feeling of, like, renewal when you cut it. So, but her and her mom and her, everybody's crying now because they're addressing something they don't really address, which is her father's passing. And she runs upstairs and, like, sits in one of his t-shirts.
It's all night.
Yeah.
All night.
Cries all night, wakes up the next morning. Nobody's talking in the car. I love men who are relentless, because Davi's like, I know you say you don't want to be my bestie, but I'm still going to come to your locker and talk to you this morning. And she starts crying again. He's like, do you want to be in school today? And she's like, no. So let's skip. And she's like, huh? And they skip, which I find so interesting, because she says that's something she always wanted to do, but in Nigeria, the school walls are so high, you can't skip their security. Absolutely,
there's no way you're skipping. I'm not gonna lie to you, I think one of the things that shocked me about moving to North America, I'm just like, this school's just open. There's no boundary, there's no security guard, nothing. I know you told me, like, they usually, like, call, like, you go to homeroom.
You get attendance every class. So,
like, the registration, where they call you, where they do a call out, right? If you miss that one, they're gonna call your parents. But us growing up, like, we had walls for security reasons, right? There's no way you can escape. Even when you know your mom is parked outside, they'd be like, "Show me the car. Show me the mom."
But yeah, you know what? I only experienced that when we moved to Tunis, because, like, again, here, the schools are open. Like, even elementary schools. Like, I remember there was a kid who ran home at lunch and just didn't come back. He was a weirdo. But anyways. But in Tunis, like, because, again, we're on the continent, like, the walls are high, and it was one of those, like, international schools. So, wow. And then what made it worse was after the revolution, they were like, if we don't see a badge, you're not coming in. And they made our parents get badges as well to be shown before they could come in and out of the school. So there was no skipping. Like, you know, I think if you got to, like, maybe, like, 16, 17, 18, maybe you could, like, sign yourself out, maybe. But, like, yeah. But here it's like you get the call. It's like a student in your household in grade 10 was away for this period, this period, this period, this period.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, every country, every region has a way of, you know, counting the students.
Yeah.
But all of them are necessary, okay? We want the students
truancy
to be.
Truancy is not good, guys.
Yeah, don't Skype, y'all. Don't Skype. I don't know if you guys call that in school, but we've called Skype
before. Snitching or skipping. They say skipping in the book as well. Skipping.
Okay. Yeah, we used to call it Skyving. Skyving school. You couldn't do that. You couldn't do that. Anyway, so he's just like, yeah, let's go. He gets into the car and he drives them to his parents' summer house that are selling. And I said, Jane. Jane, I know exactly what you did here. Not the summer I turned pretty. Which, by the way, Jane
is that what that is?
Yes. That's why I was laughing.
Oh. What about Jane?
Oh, but you haven't watched
it. No, I refuse to watch such.
Okay. So, yeah, I think Jane Agar did, when we interviewed her we interviewed Jane Agar, I think, almost over a year ago. I can't remember. She did say that she was watching Somewhere Time Pretty. And so when I saw him, I was like, oh, she probably was like, oh, yeah, let me just add a little bit. You know, she's adding all of them, every aspect of it. But, yes, they're selling the house. Dabby seems very sad about it.
I have theories.
Go ahead. This is when I started thinking about, like, why he's upset. But go ahead.
Either his mom and dad are getting divorced and they have to split properties, or his mom has turned into a drug addict and they have to pay for rehab. Those are my two theories.
Okay. So I think it's...
Whoa.
Can you explain how you got the drug addict portion?
Because one, when he said, yeah, we're selling it, we have to pay for my college and some other things. And then... later on when he was talking about his family and she said, what about your mom? And he said, my mom, and then said, how about the musical? How's the musical going?
Maybe the mom's sick. Very sick.
Oh, right.
I don't know why you said drug addict. So you said it so quickly. That's why I had to say, wait, can you explain that to me? So I was thinking the mom is terminally ill and they can't afford the hospital bills anymore. And his grandmother is just around more often to just, you know, insert herself in that space, that's that missing portion of it. Or the parents are getting divorced.
I think the grandma lives there though, because she's leader of the choir. That's a serious kind of job.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not taking a drug addict off the table.
No, it's okay. It's still an option. But I was thinking like a terminal illness or something where it's going to leave the family.
Honestly, how did you get there?
I said, okay. let's think about it. Anyway, so they sit there and they have a conversation and I think it's almost like a trauma bond, but not really. But they are bonding over pain.
It is, and that's interesting because later on when she asks Bethany, like, are you okay with me dating Davi? Because Davi does tell us we dated all the way from January to March. It's September or October right now. I don't even remember being with her. So, and both Sybil also says it after she goes back to rehearsals, which she does with Davi's encouragement, after they spent a lovely time at the beach house eating Vovo's pizza. And kissing. Aww. They kissed.
Yes, I know. Because they did kiss in the summer house.
A lot of times. And then he drove her back to school and was like, okay, I have football. You go do the musical. And she has a better day at musical practice despite Ara's stank attitude. But he also then proceeds to ask her out. So she has a date on the Saturday. Of course... her strict mom is not going to let her go on a date, so her and her sister have come up with this plan to go to Sybil's house, which is, so they get dressed, she gets dressed at Sybil's house, and Davi will pick her up from there. So while she's there, she meets Bethany, and Bethany's essentially like, I like you, and Sybil has already said the same thing. She's like, Ara and Davi, they were not compatible, like, it was so long ago, like, they're both still friends, and Ara didn't even want the lead role. Now Bethany is co-signing what Sybil has said, and is also like, Davi's happy with you, like, he's a jovial person. When he was with Ara, he was miserable, all they did was fight. Like, you know, it's so funny because what are you anyways. But she's just like, where was my point to all of this? I had a point. Oh,
okay,
yes. Then he said they bonded, what Ara and Davi were together, they were both really sad. Then I said, but these two are also really sad.
I had the exact same note here. I'm just like, are they like sort of foretelling something? And maybe he'll realize, because he's already gone through something like that already. He's like, we can't have some sort of relationship that we're both like together because we're connecting over this sad thing that's happening in our lives. We should be connecting because we like each other genuinely. It's joyful.
But I think that's why he's purposely not telling her what the issue is, because he's gotten to know her organically, and she didn't even tell him that her father had passed prior to. So I think there is something to be said about, like, they do like each other clearly for each other. So,
yeah,
you know. But that's
also it's very mature of Sybil and Bethany.
Yeah.
To I don't know, like, to tell, to distinguish between good and bad, because some people at that age, I'm gonna say like, I was not this way, but I know it's very easy for you to just be like, oh, that's my friend, so I'm gonna stick by them. I'm gonna ride and die with them. You have to like see that, okay, something here is faulty. You know, something here is odd. Okay. Because even Sybil's acceptance to just help them come by my house. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys can get ready. You can pick it from here. Look, I think that's really nice, knowing that she only knows Nora for how long? A couple weeks? Well, Arash has known for a little bit more time.
She likes Inori like very much.
But I still think it shows a lot of maturity, though. Because at that age, like, I don't know, girl. Some people just side with their friends regardless. Oh, she is dating my best friend's ex-guy, so I cannot interact with them.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It is mature, because Frances usually does cause a rift in the group.
Frances.
It's Frances. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think dating a friend group is nasty, you guys. You guys, dating a friend group is disgusting. Don't ever do that. And as someone who has watched all 10 seasons of Vanderpump Rules, I'm absolutely repulsed by the idea. If you join our friend group, there's nowhere we're dating. We'll have to split up. Sorry.
I think you can do it, though.
I'm not. If you had like five guy friends or Delia, that's a lot, by the way. You had like two of them and they joined our group. I'm not dating any of those guys. I swear I'm not. I swear I am not. I know you swear you're not. And you shouldn't either.
What the heck, man?
Okay, then we'll have to end the friendship. What can we do now?
Why? We can move past it. It'll be hard, but we can.
Have you seen men of our age? Yeah. Anyway, so the plan is, like Adelia said, they're going to drive over to Sybil's house. They're going to get ready there. Davy's going to come pick up from there. And then he'll drop off there. And then Aunt Sarah, which is...
Adrian's mom.
Is going to come and pick... Basically drop them... The evidence that, I dropped them off and I picked them up. So nothing, like, they were in the house. So then they do that montage they do in teen movies where they help her dress up, doing the makeup, doing the hair. She's wearing a mini red dress. Makeup is done exclusively by the trained eye, hand of Isosa.
Makeup by Essie.
And I do want to say that there's a rift between Isosa and the mom, because the mom does not think that what she's doing is sensible. She's like, this girl needs to be serious, be in her books. I don't know why she's out here talking about YouTube this, YouTube that, that. I don't want to hear it, right? And her mom has sort of like, her mom has done the thing that parents have to do with siblings sometimes, recruit you to go talk to your sister or your brother about something. I don't like doing those conversations for you.
I just
say
straight up, I'm not going to.
I never do. I was like, it's like, yeah, for sure. And I just go and tell them, you know, they told me to tell you this, but you don't have to do anything.
Exactly.
Man. Then I'll walk away. And I say it so nonchalantly, like it's a matter of fact, and I walk away. I don't care.
The worst is you say, don't tell him that I'm going to, like, don't tell your brother that I'm going to talk to him. I'll be like,
I already told them.
Just want to let you know they're about to talk to you about this and this. Like, don't even.
Absolutely.
I don't know why parents do that. My alliance is not to you.
Your alliance is with a kiddo.
It's
okay?
With my brother.
Exactly. I always wanted a brother.
Literally.
You see? Yeah. Like, it's up to stay with that. I know them longer than you know
me. They know me better than you know me.
It's true. Like, I've seen them. I used to lie for my sisters. I lie everything. I know she's not a whatever's house.
Yeah.
I know she. Oh, no. Open up the door. This is me creeping downstairs. You know what I mean? Anywho. Yeah, so they get ready. She looks gorgeous. She goes down the stairs, and voila, who's there? Her boo thing. Debbie's there, and he's speechless, as am I, because she looks gorgeous. He's just like, you look beautiful. And he opens the door for her. They hop into the car, and they have a quick conversation in chapter 21. I'm trying to find the chapter.
So essentially, he just gets in the car, and she's like, it's so funny that you told me to pick you up from here. And she has to explain, yeah, my mom's strict, and this and this and that. And but he's like, you look really pretty, and that's where it kind of ends.
I miss dating. I just do. I love dating. I love getting ready for it. I love going on a date. I love it. I miss it.
The
miss
way you flip and flop is so funny, but I'll say that for another day. But so that's where we end the chapters for now. So when we come back, we're going to pick up from their date and, of course, the end of the book. So far, so good. Do you have a preemptive rating?
Yeah, I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I think I'm between an 8.5 and a 9 right now.
I don't know. You like halves a lot, but I like whole numbers.
It's one of the reasons I hate Goodreads. Nothing is a straight 4-star, 3-star. Some things are 3.5. Some things are...
Fair enough.
You know?
But I thought you could do that on Goodreads.
No, you can't.
You can't give halves on Goodreads?
No.
Because I always see halves. I always see 4.75. people really...
That's the average rating once everybody gives their... review.
Even I can give 1.5. Can I not?
No, you can't.
Anyway, I'm sticking with Goodreads for life. I know you guys like Fable and Storyboard, whatever Storygraph. It is, Storygraph, whatever it is. But Goodreads is always gonna be there. Goodreads is always gonna be superior.
I don't think so. I'm currently on Storygraph. I'm not on Fable though.
How is Storygraph?
Storygraph's pretty good.
Is it just the aesthetics that you're looking for, or like what else does it offer that Goodreads doesn't have?
It's black owned. It
for now.
Guys, we're about to sneeze.
God bless you.
It's black owned. Mm-hmm. You can do 0.5 ratings. The search is more specific, I think, like the bookshelves. I do think Goodreads is easier to use, though, and it has a larger database, but that's just because it's years ahead.
They've amassed a lot of it. Yeah. That's why I said, like, it'd always be superior in terms of, like, pulling up all the books that you need.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, I mean, someone said they got a Fable because they sent them, like, a Wrapped, and they called them, like, you're a storyteller. And they said, yeah, that's it. Deactivate my account.
But Goodreads sends you a rap too.
But did they call you a storyteller?
No, but that's funny for a book app to tell you. Well, obviously.
Because Goodreads has been doing it for a while, but
I mean, everybody's just copying
Spotify does. We're just like, you are a dynamic listener.
But you know, that's actually like, what we got for the podcast, that we're storytellers.
Dynamic listener? Let me see, storytellers, right. But isn't anyone who has a podcast a storyteller?
Listen.
Anyway, so that's how the first half of the book ends, and yeah, we're giving our ratings. I think like right now, like it's very, 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 very warm, an 8 out of 10. The writing is the thing is that it's a very quick book, but I feel like it was packed. Like you have so much talent in this world, I'm telling you. Like you're able to cover that much character development already, and for me to really feel attached to some of the characters in just a couple pages is incredible. So I cannot wait to see how it ends. God, please let this character stay alive. Let their hearts beat until the end. I don't know, girl. I don't know.
I don't think any of these characters are dying.
I hope not. I hope nobody dies. And I hope nothing bad truly happens to them. But I hope anything that happens is we can come out of it stronger.
Hana's basically saying, I don't want to see a 12-year gap of time where there's a baby.
Nah, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see a walk to remember that I'm actually dying. Like, I don't want to see that. Then he has to spend, like, the last couple of weeks talking about how much he loves this girl and buy her a star with her name on it. Remember?
The Fault in Our Stars. I was like, buy her a star? Why is this so
funny? No, a walk to remember he bought her a star.
But they've been selling the same stars over and over again.
No, girl, do you know how many stars are in the sky?
I don't believe that all of us have our own stars that we bought.
Yes, we do. I promise you.
I don't.
Because they give you the coordinates for it. So you'd always know like what star. We have billions of stars. That literally billions of stars.
How can you even sell a star? So we don't own anything up there.
No, somebody owns it, Julia. Don't worry. As long as there are men on this planet, somebody owns
y'all
the stars.
Y'all are going to be really pissed when the aliens come down here and say, how dare you try and claim what we've already got?
The thing is that the aliens don't even care because they already named their star something else. They're moving. You may call your star Rudy Rich, but the aliens already have Rich? A name for this. But the aliens already have a name for this. They do. Okay. Anywho, so thank you guys for tuning in. I know this was very long, but I promise we're doing better. We're just starting off, y'all. It's the first day back in the factory, okay? I didn't know where my work gear was. I couldn't find my mic. Like,
lost my work boots.
I wore my work boots. Like, have grace, okay? This is Henry Ford's fault. So please follow us on our socials. That is Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter.
At Romantically Lit.
At Romantically Lit. And then you can always email us at romanticallylit@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your opinions, your everything, your recommendations in particular. That's what I'm most interested in. And let us know if there's anything in our TBR that you want us to cover. I know sometimes the comments you guys make recommendations and I will forget, but I will go back and check just in case.
Yeah, I went back and checked recently to make our final one. Do you know how many books are on there? 50.
So this year we're reading 50 books. I know some of y'all read 180 last year, but we're gonna do 50 books this year. Right, Julia?
We barely read 11 last year on the podcast.
Well, that's because there was a phase of laziness. But yeah. This year I'm promising myself, I don't want to talk about New Year's resolutions, but I'm promising myself to put my phone down. This year I'm gonna make an effort to put my phone down.
Amen. I'm not making the same promise, but amen.
That's okay. I don't expect you to do it, to be honest, Adelia. I've seen you.
Brain is cooked.
There's no way. If you said that you're going to put your phone down, I'd be like, so now we're lying. Now we're lying. But I'm hoping to dive into more and more stories this year. I'm going to branch out back to nonfiction and memoirs. Don't worry, y'all. I'm coming back with my memoirs. And I want to read those again. And I have a couple in my mind right now. Anyway. So those are some of my reading goals. I don't know if you're going to share yours. If not, we can end this right now.
My reading goals is to read as well more nonfiction, but to really go back to reading more like politically driven books, you know, and revisiting. I think I mentioned somewhere on TikTok, revisiting works of political activists and social activists that I enjoyed. It's because I think while the world is against reading, I must build my own library of Alexandria.
You must be the read that stands above everyone else, because I know y'all don't like to read no more.
I'm the new Uncle Ruckus. I'm out there like this. Read, nigga, read!
And also, you know, you guys, you can also read essays. Some of the essays I'm seeing on TikTok are really interesting. And some people are generous enough to put links, which I didn't know that, no, you can even put links on TikToks, but you can. People have a lot of followers, I guess. But yeah, click on those links. Read before you believe what anyone is saying, because a lot of people think they know what they're saying. Just go read an essay.
I think everybody's goal should be know how to look up factual academic sources. Like, I think that's one of the first things you're supposed to learn in like high school, university, and some of you skip that lesson. So go look it up, because there's no reason you and your mama are being duped by AI links. Just saying.
Did you hear that tweet that went out? It was an AI tweet about people going to see fireworks at some place and there were no fireworks. It was a bot.
No.
Yeah. People showed up. I don't know where it was. Some place in the U.S. There was a tweet that went out that said, at 11:45, show up at this place. And lots of people showed up. And when 12 hit, say Happy New Year, no fireworks.
So nobody double checked that at all, or
nobody.
So read, guys, really and truly. Let's read. listen.
Yeah, let's be smarter, y'all. Let's be smarter.
And come back next week while we continue to read this.
Yes. For sure.
Happy New Year.
Thank you all.
And goodbye.
Happy New Year. God bless. Stay safe.